Angels Radio.
AM 830.
Welcome back. This is Jeff Lazarson's Mortgage Grader Radio Show. Sunday morning from Anaheim Stadium live. Angels are playing the Giants in a few hours. And guess what? I'm going to see the game with my son this afternoon. So there. I have Lance Siegel, appraiser, John Wilhelm, home inspector, and James Bangar, realtor, here with me as guests. And we're going to go to the phone lines right now. Dave, thank you very much for holding. I'm sorry you're holding a long time. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a question, I think, mostly for Mr. Bangar.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, so we're looking at a house in another state, and, you know, you look through the houses on Zillow, there's always a little box that pops up that says, get pre-qualified now. So if I click on that box, what happens? I don't want to go through, like, a whole loan application process and have my inquiry formally recognized on my credit report, so... If I click on get pre-qualified now, what happens?
I think your best bet is to get yourself pre-qualified, not click those buttons. That'd be my best advice to you.
So in other words, Dave, what he's saying is do it on your own. Don't do it through that site. You know, pick your own people to do that. And that's actually a really good question, too, about out-of-state purchasing, you know, properties out-of-state. Lance, is there a difference to doing appraisals in other states than California?
The only differences would be the local and state guidelines and laws, but the appraisal guidelines are the same.
Okay. Dave, does that help answer your question? Oh, Dave hung up. Okay. All right. Next up, we have Mary from Sherman Oaks. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. How are you? It's Jeff from Mortgage
Grader.
How are
you?
Good.
Great show.
Thank you.
This, I guess, would be a question for the home inspector. My husband and I purchased a home in Sherman Oaks, and apparently there were 10 backup offers.
Wow.
And we just had the home inspection. Yeah, we just had the home inspection done this week, and our home inspector revealed some issues, code violations, no permits, improper installation of tile work, unsafe conditions with water heaters. We've asked the seller to get permits, and they're refusing, and I'm not really sure if we should walk away or what we should do.
Wow. You know, unfortunately, it's a very common problem, and I can't tell you to walk away, but what happens is you're kind of pushed into this deal because there's backup offers, and the seller is not motivated because of the backup offers, but they have to realize that if you walk away, they still have a home with code violations and improper installations. So it's in their interest to hang on to you. They're going to have the same problem with the next buyers. The problem for you is that if you accept these conditions and close the escrow, you can't go back and argue about having things repaired or the effects of what those damaged conditions or improper installations cause. And a lot of those things may not show up for years, but it's your problem. Also, when you go to sell the house, you have all these problems, and now you, knowing about these problems, that all the conditions that were in the inspection report, you have to disclose that to the next buyer, and they're going to ask you to pay for it.
Well, so time out here. James, you know, we understand that there's a property disclosure statement that the seller has to put together.
That's correct.
So why is it that John, the inspector, found stuff that the home seller didn't put out there in the first place? What's that all about?
Those inspections are basically based on a seller's knowledge. Most sellers aren't contractors, so they might be in a different business, so to speak, you know, and therefore, you know, not be able to pick out all these items that the qualified home inspector is. But to help out that buyer, I would say at the end of the day, what you need to ask yourself is either you buy it with the problems and you have the home you wanted, or you walk from it and have nothing.
What about asking the seller to fix it?
Well, that's for sure. I would assume that's in the process now. You can't. It doesn't cost a thing to ask them to repair. They're only on the hook for strapping a water heater for earthquake, putting in a NOx detector, putting in a smoke detector. That pretty much does it for the seller's obligation, other than complete disclosure to their knowledge.
Mary, you stirred up a hornet's nest. Lance,
Let me share with you from an appraiser standpoint. Most likely, you might not even get an appraisal approved for a loan because FHA won't will not allow any violations of zoning or health and safety issues, and many lenders won't allow or loan on non-permitted aspects of houses. So it sounds like there's all three on this house, and so even if you get an appraisal, there's a good chance that you won't get a loan based on all the information that the appraisal will call out.
The issue with non-permitting, it depends, is really the answer. Even if they don't give value because it doesn't have a permit. Most lenders, except for FHA, on the conventional side, if it's done in a workmanlike manner, it's okay. You just aren't going to get the extra value for it, but you could still buy that. And John, you had one more comment about
also,
it?
Also, anything that's improperly installed on these flips, anything that's newly installed, like a roof, a water heater, and heating systems, and things like that, if they're not installed to code, if they're there's code violations, and they're not properly maintained, it completely voids the warranty. So a lot of people think because we're getting this little home warranty deal along with the house that it's going to cover all these things. It won't, or it easily can be denied because they weren't properly installed. And that was the reason for the malfunction or the breakdown or the leak in the roof. And if the home warranty company can show that you do have a code violation or it wasn't properly installed, they'll just deny the claim. So you're still on the hook for all these things yourself. And you may consider looking at another house. I hate to say to walk, but it really depends on the severity and if the seller is willing to repair those things. And if he's not, then you would get your own contractor to come in, find out what these things would cost to bring it up to code. And if you're willing to pay for that, then that may change your deal.
And Mary, one last point about all that John brought up about the voiding the warranty. Insurance companies are famously great until you have a problem. Then once you have a problem, they're trying to find ways to get out of it.
Absolutely.
I've heard it over and over again. So just be careful. And thank you so much for your call, Mary. The adrenaline's
thank
pumping
you.
Here. And James has one last thing to tell you.
Home warranty companies now have, they're savvy to this. They actually have non-permitted items. They have money allotted, sometimes up to $2,500, to take care of that, just like they kicked in for the concrete encased issues as well on our transactions. So at the end of the day, you've got a property. You certainly can fix a property, but you cannot fix a neighborhood. So remember that.
Okay. Next up, Phil, you're on the air with us. Welcome, Phil, to Jeff Lazarson's Mortgage Grader Radio Show. What city are you calling from, Phil?
I'm calling from Marina Hills.
All right. So
down Southern Orange County.
What's your question, Phil?
I live on the edge of the track. We got this hillside and back, and I've been freaked out by all the things you hear about everybody being flooded out and mudslides and stuff. So I'm trying to be a little proactive. I got a guy to come out and give me an estimate for those interlocking pylons to put up in the back about 15, 20 feet high. But it's expensive. And I'm mulling over whether I should have it done or not. It's coming down to whether this thing's going to add any value to my property. I mean, it's like $25,000 to do this. Is there someone there that can tell me whether I'm going to get even a dime back for this?
John, what do you say about all this?
Yeah, anytime you have a really expensive repair like that, I would get a second opinion. And it would be the repair would normally be done under the direction of a geologist and a structural engineer. And if you have a hillside that is unstable, of course you want to do whatever it takes to stabilize that, because you could ruin your house. There's always alternatives. You could have ground cover. You could have smaller retaining walls that don't require as much engineering, that are set up in different rows. You can change the grading, the slope, the way your water flows on that hill. So if when you get into those kind of numbers, I would get another opinion. And there is always another alternative. Those kind of repairs are usually very, very expensive, but they really may not be necessary. So be careful. You need the geologists to say this is what you have to do, and then offer some options. Okay.
Just a small recommendation from an appraisal standpoint is start with the city. They know quite a bit about their own cities, their hillsides, and see what they say. These planners and these planning departments know quite a bit about this, and they will give you some really good recommendations.
Phil, thanks for the call. Next up is Dick from Chatsworth. Dick, welcome to the show. You're on the air. What's your question, please?
Good morning. I have a question for the home inspector.
Boy, he's pretty popular this morning.
My question revolves around a water heater situation. My home's older, and the water heater, to the best of my knowledge, is 15 or 18 years old, and it's probably getting time to replace it. The pilot's going out, and I'm having problems, so I've had a couple of plumbers come out, and the plumbers are advising me that I want to put a tankless water heater in. But when I look at the expenditure for a tankless water heater and then go on my own to Home Depot to see what a regular water heater or an older style conventional water heater would cost, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to put the kind of money into a tankless. But they point out it'll have continual hot water supply and it'll save on natural gas and all that kind of stuff. So I'm trying to get an unbiased opinion as to whether I'd put in a tankless at this point or an older style conventional hot water heater.
Thanks for the call. I like the tankless water heaters. There's a lot of advantages, but they are much more expensive, and you really need to have a specific reason to want a tankless water heater. If you have a space problem, if you have a venting problem and you want to use the old space inside for something else, you can move the water heater out, things like that. If you have a huge jacuzzi tub in the master bathroom and every time you fill up the tub, you use all the hot water and nobody else can use hot water in the house for 45 minutes, those are reasons to get a tankless. The problem are, again, they're much more expensive. A regular tank water heater is a very simple mechanical device. They're cheaper, easier to repair. They do last a long time. They're also time tested. The tankless water heaters haven't been around quite as long, so I can't say, get one of these because it's going to last 25 years. It may not. There are a lot of electronics and a lot of complicated things that you cannot fix. If you don't have those specific reasons, I would say put in a tank water heater. Also, your tank water heater has 50 gallons of emergency water that you can use to flush toilets and things like that if there's a water shortage, and a tank water heater wouldn't have that.
Listen, Dick, don't listen to John. I have a tankless water heater in my house. I've had it for 5 years, and I'm telling you, I love it. And, you know, John's just giving you advice I wouldn't take. I think it's great. So coming up next, after the break, we're going to be talking about non-permitted garages and just the flood of that going on in the Southland. Call in 949-389-9000, or you can email us at jlazarson.com with a question, or facebook.com/mortgagegrader. We'll be back shortly.
Angels Radio.
AM 830.